Welcome, everybody, to Four Outdoorsmen. Strewman here in the Four Outdoorsmen with Sam Oftedal to my left and Mark Lukey to his left and Brandon behind the glass. He's the man in charge. Brandon, without you, we are nobody. You
we
know
love
that
you,
for
Brandon.
A fact.
Aw, shucks.
You and it's really nice. The calendar is gone.
It is. I can see direct line of sight to
now
you
now I can watch football better.
Yeah, we're in a different studio than Brandon. He controls the entire show. We are just here to BS, have fun, have great guests, like the two great guests we have tonight who are who, Marcus?
Well, our guest at 640 is going to be Nick Hoffman of Nick's Wild Ride. We had him on about a year ago. Nick is an awesome guy. He was a fiddle player for Kenny Chesney. He is now in a band called The Farm. He's
married. Not anymore.
He's not?
No, The Farm was just a temporary thing for a year or two, and they kicked some butt.
He's not on The Farm anymore.
No.
But he has an awesome show on Outdoors Channel and Fox Sports called Nick's Wild Ride. And he's from Minnesota. He's one of us, and he's a great guy. So we thought we'd catch up with him.
And we're going to talk about the DNR Roundtable at 6:20 with, Dave Ohlfeld. And Dave is the director of the DNR Fish and Wildlife Division. And I'm not exactly sure a whole lot about what the roundtable is, but we're going to find out. I know they're learning about all the stuff that happened in 2020, what they can do to make it better in 2021. And Dave is going to take care of us because Sarah, the commissioner of the DNR, is fishing on Leech Lake right now. Doesn't get really good reception up there someplace where she is, but she's catching a few walleyes, I'm guessing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, good for her. Yeah.
Way to speak up. Good.
Atta boy. That's Sam.
We tease Sam for being too quiet, so he's going to be boisterous.
Yeah, it just feels good to
Woo!
Be back, boys.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of feeling good to be back, I was in Laughlin, Nevada from Monday through Friday, came back at 1 o'clock Saturday morning.
How was it?
We laughed a lot, but thanks a lot, Sam. We laughed a lot. It was the four of us. We golfed. This is a little bit too much for me. We had a lot of fun. 8 rounds of golf in 5 days is a lot.
That is a lot.
It's a lot, you know. So, but we did well and had decent weather, really windy 1 or 2 days. I've never played in windier conditions, which is a lot of fun because you aim 25 yards to the left, you hit it up in the air and hope it comes in the right direction. But we did well, had fun. Nobody got hurt. We got along, ate well, had a few cocktails, and left. And
what was your high round and what was your low round?
My high round, you get to throw out the high. You can't throw out the low, though, because I had an 84 for my low round in the windy conditions. But the first round we played when we landed in Nevada, Las Vegas. We drove about 10 miles and played, I forget where we played, someplace in Henderson, Nevada. And I shot about, a buck six.
Nice.
Yeah, about a buck six. And it was like playing in a farm field or something. But it was, and then I had an 84 for my lowest round.
That's good.
So Reno is like a little Las Vegas. Is Laughlin like a little Reno?
Yeah, probably. I've only been to Reno once, maybe twice, but Laughlin is...
Didn't you do a bowling open in Reno, Nevada?
Yeah, I did.
Bowled in the tournament, Kingpin?
Kingpin, yeah.
Is that the same tournament that you bowled in?
Yeah, that was it. It was. It's a national tournament. You're on TV and all kinds of things.
Are you good?
I used to be good. I mean, what's your definition of good? What's a good average have to be good?
Well, pros
260?
Yeah, I'm good. No, the highest bowling average I ever had was 191, but I averaged 185 a lot most of my competitive years. But anyway, there's a guy named Dana Wright who could bowl. He could average 200 left-handed and right-handed when we bowled in the mixed doubles league, my pretty wife Diana and I. And Dana Wright bowled against us. When he bowled me against our team, he would bowl me left-handed even up and beat me probably 4 to 5 times. Great bowler.
Do you bowl left-handed?
I do. So, but
you put a hook on it?
Well, of course. You can't be. You're not a bowler if you don't hook the ball.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
So anyway, so it was funny because I was bowling in stolen bowling shoes from Maplewood Lanes at the time. You know, they got the number of the size of the shoe in back.
Yeah.
And some I must have left my shoes at wherever we were bowling sometime. And they weren't there when I came back, so I stole a pair. And I used them for about like 2 seasons or whatever. And Dana asked me to go to Reno because one guy had to back out with this really good team. Not that I was any good by any means. So Dana bought me a really nice pair of bowling shoes because he wasn't going to let me go out there with size 8 on the back of my bowling shoes. You know? Yeah.
Maplewood Lanes.
Yeah. Got awesome. A little chip in it. You know, it's like the guys chasing Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, you know, because I got the chip they can find me in the bowling
Every time
alley,
you used
know.
It, did you have to spray it like they
Yeah. No, you just took the shoes off and stepped on the bugs. That's the boy you did. But it was cool. It was kind of cool. You walk out there and they name you as you're walking across the lanes, and it was very, very difficult. And it was fun.
How many? What was your best there? What was your best score there?
Oh, you bowl probably 9 games, I think, is what it was. And my best series was probably like a 540 or something, which is okay. But the other two, I know for a fact, were under a 500 series, which is not good for somebody averaging.
That's 3 games?
Yeah, that wasn't very good at all. The biggest mistake I made when I was in Reno, Nevada, and I'll never forget this, and it's the first time I ever flew in an airplane by myself. I felt like a little kid. Diana made a lunch for me, that kind of stuff. She said, give this note to the stewardess. You know?
Says my first time.
Yeah. Had to wear a little name tag so they knew who the hell I was.
He had pilot's wings.
That's great.
Yeah. Hey, Jimmy, you want to see the cockpit?
Gladiator movies?
Yeah. as we're getting ready to leave, and I didn't have any place in particular to go the next day. I remember that. And I sat there, and they said, hey, we're overbooked here. Anybody want to stay an extra day? We'll give you a room and $100 or something like that. And I thought, no. Then they said, we're overbooked. Anybody want? We'll give you a room. We'll give you dinner and $200, whatever it was. I thought, I could do this. Well, by the time I got up there, someone had already beat me to it.
Yeah.
I thought, I can stay for one more night. I think we were watching football or something. I can stay in a hotel, have dinner, give me $100. I would have done it, but Too slow.
Delta did that on a flight that I was on maybe 2 years ago now. It was in the fall. They were offering $500, and I went up to do it. They were 3 people. They were looking. They were going to do a $500 gift card, and I think I was going to be landing at 1 o'clock. I had nothing to do. The show started the next day, and if I'd have took the other flight they wanted, I would have got there at like 7:30. So it wasn't a big deal. But man, everyone ran to that counter. Yeah. $500 to wait a couple hours, worth it.
Look like all the guys from Jaws and this little boat's bouncing off of each other, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, it was a lot of fun, and pretty blessed to be able to do it. So
yeah,
every day truly is a gift. Mark, how was your week?
It was a great week. I put on my – I used to be a tile setter many, many jobs ago, and I tiled my in-law's place. I fixed a toilet, did nothing cool outdoors.
What a man.
So, yeah, I'm getting ready for our Devil's Lake trip in a couple of weeks. I think
heck yeah.
I'm excited to go fishing. I think
they've been catching some big perch out there.
Yeah.
They really have.
Susie sent us some pictures. On our shout-out picture tonight, there's also a picture of a big perch.
Hey, I'll tell you what, and if Susie can catch a couple of big perch, Strewman can catch a perch.
Because
she's not the most active fisherman in the world, I don't think.
But, Sam, you had a couple things to talk about in the outdoors. First of all, this week was virtual ATA show. Why don't you talk about why? I don't think our listeners know about your new position and why you would be involved in ATA.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Mark.
You're welcome, buddy.
ATA is the Archery Trade Association. It's pretty much the archery and hunting version of SHOT Show. Fishing has ICAST. The gun world and ammo world has SHOT Show, and archery hunting has ATA. Well, with all the shows being, you know, canceled in person, they launched a virtual show, and I hate to say this, you know, for them, but I think it was a dud.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was just, you know, I think they forced it, and I think SHOT Show is going to be the same. You know, we have all the connections to the buyers anyway who are going to be purchasing, you know, from Bass Pro, Cabela's, Shields. You know, we already have those connections, so it was almost like we had to go through this third party to set up a meeting. We set up this virtual booth, you know, it's 20 by 40 foot booth in the warehouse to actually show the new products and stuff. And
products? Tell us about your company.
Yeah. So I took a VP of sales job at a company called Alliance Outdoor Group. We own X-Stand tree stands, Sniper tree stands, and Rambo hunting bikes. So we had them all in together in a 20 by 40 foot booth, and you know, we were sitting around twiddling our thumbs for most of the time, but we did have a couple people who came in, which were good. But yeah, unfortunately, show season is now, right? And you know, it's where everyone gets together. It's almost like a reunion in the industry, and you get to meet with the buyers and go over their products and show them what's new for 2021. And it's just a bummer.
Do you think that COVID is going to put a permanent end to some of these shows when they realize that we don't need to be at these events and save, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars that you would spend to be at a show?
Yeah, I definitely would say 100% yes. I think it definitely hurt those associations who put on the shows. I'm going to say the industry's probably split 50-50 on their thoughts. And I'm on the thought of, I think that this year is going to prove that those shows are not needed.
Yeah.
Because, like, to your point of the hundreds of thousands of dollars, I know companies that spend multiple millions of dollars at SHOT Show, whether for their booth space, the booth itself, you know, having 80 people in it, the hotels, you know, it seems like when they put a big show going on, all the hotel prices go up a little bit,
oh, yeah,
too.
I suppose.
You
got to
book them in a year in advance. And all that money, you think about it, I mean, you know, I'm going to use a random company. Let's say, you know, Glock. I don't know these exact numbers, but let's say they spend $2 million at SHOT. You know, if
I saw Chuck Norris at their booth last year, so they must be spending millions.
Yeah, they are. But if you think if in your marketing budget, you didn't have to go to SHOT, you didn't have to go to the NRA, which we'll talk about after this, you didn't have to go to any of these shows, you're saving, you know, $2, $3, $4, $5 million. And all of a sudden, you can put that into other marketing, or better yet,
like Outdoors TV.
Yeah, or radio. and you reflect that on the price to the consumer, all of a sudden your pricing, you know, dropped 15-20%. You're selling more guns. Like, I think it's for sure going to hurt, you know.
Right.
I think the only pro to COVID in the industry is people are realizing you don't have to travel to have a successful meeting.
All right, but then based on the things you just said, one thing concerns me. You talked about room rates and all that. When we go to Devil's Lake, North Dakota, and the people find out all about it, are they going to raise room rates? Are we going to have to pay more money?
No, I think we were VIPs at Fireside. once Mark and I walk in,
you guys,
you know, you're very, very lucky.
I'll share that joke with somebody later on. That's an inside joke, but it's funny.
No, I think the show season, like right now, like usually it's back to back weeks of shows, and everyone comes back sick, and you get the show hangover of, you know, catching up with work, but.
I'm not sure it's just a show hangover.
Pal. Yeah, but I firmly believe that, yeah, it is going to – some of these smaller ones and some of the other ones, you know, bigger ones might change what they do.
Well, Mark had a question about the DNR, didn't you, Mark? What were you talking about?
The NRA, we were talking about this earlier. Why don't you break that story? Breaking news.
Yeah. Is that a breaking news sound?
Sounds close enough, yeah.
Okay.
Like a telegram?
Yeah. It just kind of came to me. NRA filed for bankruptcy on Friday.
Huh. The National Rifle Association. That's impossible.
Yeah, Chapter 11. So they moved from New York. So it started in 1873-ish in New York. And then they moved to Texas. And I'm going to say... Now I'm an NRA lifetime member.
Me too.
And are you, Stu?
I am not.
Okay, that's okay.
I only got 10 years left.
You won't get your money's worth.
I won't get my money's worth. Yeah.
No, but it's sad to see this because I've been seeing this for the last couple of years. You know, being in this industry on a professional level, where I've been seeing, unfortunately, the NRA slowly collapsing within. They hired a new president a couple of years ago, Wayne LaPierre, who was longtime president of the NRA, stepped aside, you know, still was on the board. They hired this new former general, and I think he lasted less than 6 to 9 months. And Wayne pulled him out, stepped back in, and when that happened, the vice president, Chris Cox, who's been there forever, He got fired. All these people got fired. NRA TV went away. So Dana Loesch, Dan Bongino, they all just got booted. And it's just been kind of like, you know, that the story of, you know, your parents are getting divorced and it's awkward. That's what it's been like in the NRA.
Yeah.
It's been weird. And then this week came out and they officially, I heard about it on Monday or Tuesday, the rumblings of it, and then they officially filed. And now not only did they file a Chapter 11 bankruptcy, they have a huge lawsuit that was just served to them for supposedly using money wrong.
Well, I think that's probably likely why they filed it.
Yeah, for sure.
So they don't have to pay out the big lawsuit. But,
right
now we need the NRA.
We do.
So it's a shame that the timing on that. Who knows what's going to happen with the new administration and gun laws and to have a weekend – body looking after gun rights is not a good thing.
Yeah, and we still have the NSSF, which is the National Shooting Sports Federation, which is very large. They're actually the company that runs SHOT Show. So they're still out there lobbying and stuff for us. But yeah, it sucks. It hurts us. It hurts our image.
Oh, sure it does.
The NRA is doing that, especially when the lawsuit is. They're saying that they used millions of dollars for elaborate vacations and private jets, and in that lawsuit's from the state of New York.
And my guess is that PETA and the tree huggers are happier than hell. All right, go ahead, Mark.
A couple of quick shout outs here. Thank you, everyone, for writing in, and don't forget to do that every week if you want to be mentioned on the radio. Great picture from Devil's Lake, a huge jumbo perch there. A couple comments here. Chris Davis says, any good ideas of outdoor stuff to do with my almost three daughter? That's a tough age. They say the terrible twos. I would say three is harder. I have a three-year-old right now. Sam, you can chip in on this as well, but that's a tough age. But just getting outside, I think if you have a nice warm ice shack, take them out for an hour or two on the ice. But conditions have to be great. You have to have a lot of snacks. You have to be – when I first started taking kids out, I expected kind of what it was expected of me. And that was sit there quietly for 10 hours and behave yourself.
Or be spanked.
And that is hard to do. So you have to prepare to not do a whole lot of fishing.
Yeah, and I'll piggyback that and say snacks for sure. Don't push them. You know, and if the best thing you can do right now is plant a money tree.
There's another inside joke. I'll share that sometime with him. My old man, when he took me out when I was 3-4 years old, give or take, we fished down with White Bear Lake or Lake Elmo. He had a house out there that just never moved for 5 months, you know. And he brought some old bowling pins out there. And we'd be fishing for a little bit, and then he'd take me outside. We had a big hunk of wood and or a big hunk of ice. And we'd set up the bowling pins and do that kind of thing and have fun and go back and sit
that
for 20
led
minutes.
Led you straight to Reno.
Yes, it did, yeah.
Yeah. That's where you got the nasty hook.
A couple other shout-outs here. Justin Zeiss, congratulations. He caught a 27-inch personal best while I threw the ice. Good job. Eric, my friend Eric, sent in a picture of me hauling kids around in a four-wheeler on our trip last week. Thanks for that picture. And that's it for now. Maybe we'll have a few more before the end of the show.
Well, I was going to do another shout-out to Eric Hegel, but I can't anymore. I'll tell you, we'll be right back with the Four Outdoorsmen. Our first guest is Dave Ofeld, and Dave is director of the DNR Fish and Wildlife Division. Going to talk about Roundtable, DNR Roundtable.
Checking in with the Four Outdoorsmen. Find them at mybobcountry.com under the weekend tab.
The Four Outdoorsmen love Devil's Lake. Right now, it's all about ice fishing, and here, there's no walleye slot limit, and keep 5 a day with 10 in possession. And pound-for-pound jumbo perch are about as much fun as any fish you'll ever catch. With 165,000 acres of water, Devil's Lake assures you social distancing, and that's not going to be a problem. Hey, Kurt Walbeck of Outdoor Bound TV says, Devil's Lake is easily one of my favorite fishing hunting destinations. Wow. Check out devilslakend.com, and thank you.
40 years ago, Dave Gens had an idea that would change the sport of ice fishing. The Fish Trap Flip-Over Portable Ice Shelter, providing protection as well as mobility to anglers. Today, the concept remains, but the original clamfish trap has evolved, made with premium thermal fabrics, heavy-duty tubs, and easy-to-use pole systems. After 40 years, there's still only one original fish trap. Watch the full story at clamoutdoors.com.
Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your Hinneker snowplow dealer. Hinneker's Quick Hitch and Trip Edge systems makes removing snow easy. Made in Minnesota, Hinneker plows are perfect for commercial or residential use. Have a bobcat? No problem. Hinneker makes a plow for that too. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove also services all makes and models of plows and salt spreaders. Go to crystalwelding.com.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. Your job's too small because we do it all.
What does that ski-doo feeling sound like?
Woohoo!
Whoa, dude, I love that thing.
Oh, that was awesome!
Hey, let's go again.
Yeah, it sounds a little something like that. And now you can get that ski-doo feeling during our Winter Celebration sales event on now. Visit Power Lodge in Ramsey and get up to $1,000 off select 2020 Summit 850 E-Tech models. Offer ends January 6th, 2021. Restrictions apply. Customer offers vary based on creditworthiness. See dealer for details.
USLBM, one of the largest building products distributors in the U.S., is hiring carpenters, assemblers, sales representatives, and drivers right here in the greater Minneapolis area. USLBM offers a competitive starting wage and a generous benefits package. Apply at uslbm.com today.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel, language for life. Start the new year with a new language. Get up to 60% off now at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Find the organization you can feel good about supporting. Reach for Resources supports individuals with disabilities and mental illness to reach their full potential. That means Joe can get help finding a competitive job. Beth can socialize at bowling league. Shana can enhance her parenting skills. Ron can learn how to access needed resources. And Annie can feel included at camp with her young friends, just to name a few. While these names have been changed, our desire to empower others hasn't. Check out how you can help at reachforresources.org.
It's Neil here for Zero Res. Time to clean 2020 out of your carpets at home and bring in 2021 with the freshest cleaning deal of the year. Zero Res has never done a deal like this before. Right now, in celebration of the new year and for all loyal Bob FM listeners, we want you to take 21% off any cleaning service. Call Zero Res today at 952-ZERO-RES or online anytime at ZeroResMinnesota.com and ask for the Bob FM 21% off best cleaning deal of the year special.
Total Country Bob FM.
Right, welcome back to the 4 Hour Outdoorsman, everybody. We're going to talk to a gentleman who works in lost luggage at the airport. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Dave Olfeld is the director of the DNR Fish and Wildlife Division for the state of Minnesota. Dave, welcome to the 4 Hour Outdoorsman.
Happy to be here, it's true.
Hey, now, how are things in Grand Rapids?
It's beautiful in Grand Rapids. There's about a foot of snow on the ground and
boy, that's nice.
Moderate temperatures, so yeah. It's great to be up here.
That's a great one. How does a kid from South Minneapolis end up in Grand Rapids?
Well, I moved here about 25 years ago when a job came open, and my wife and I raised our kids here. We love it here, that's sort of the long and the short of the story.
You know, I'll tell you, when I hear the word Grand Rapids, I'm 69 years old, and I played baseball in high school and some in college and whatnot. And when I hear the Grand Rapids, the first thing I think of is how great their baseball teams were when I was in high school in the late 60s. You know, and
was that Coach Streeter then?
I have no idea, but they kicked the crap out of us in the regionals, whatever the hell it was. But no, they had great, great athletic teams up in Grand Rapids.
Yep.
Yeah.
Good hockey, too.
Let's talk about the DNR. And you are the director of the DNR, the Fish and Wildlife Division of the Minnesota DNR. What are your responsibilities? That's a big deal. that's a big deal. What are your responsibilities? I know you have a lot of people to take care of.
Well, it's the part of the Department of Natural Resources, as the name suggests, that is charged with managing fish and wildlife resources for people in Minnesota. So we have the area fisheries people that stock lakes and do lake surveys, and the area wildlife people that help manage deer and things like chronic wasting disease, or manage wildlife management areas for prairies and ducks. I get to work with all those folks.
I tell you what, I know you have like 600 people beneath you, whatever, which is quite a responsibility. But listen to this. I could be wrong, because I'm always wrong at numbers, Dave, I promise you that. But your budget, I believe, is about $2 million a year. That is a lot of responsibility.
It's about $100 million a year.
Just a little bit off, Stu.
See? Did I say 200 or 2 million?
I said 2 million.
About 98 million.
Well,
no, We have a significant budget and largely derives from hunting and angling license sales. You know, we also get grant money from places like the Lizard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Fund.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
That we use to help manage resources.
Go ahead, Sam.
So yeah. Go ahead.
Hey, sorry about that. Let's get right into it. I got a couple questions for you.
This is Sam. This is my buddy Sam here.
Yeah, Sam.
Hi, Sam.
Sorry about that. Let's get right into it. So the roundtables are coming up, correct? Can you explain first how the roundtables work?
So we have an annual meeting that's called the DNR roundtable, and it's been around for several. I can't tell you when it started. A couple decades, anyway. And it's a meeting we host every year to bring conservationists together with the department to talk about, you know, issues and trends that are important to conservationists in Minnesota. And so there are some presentations, but there's also plenty of time for conversation about issues. And at least in past years, there's always plenty of time in the hallway over a cup of coffee or sack lunch to greet people and get to know people and make those kind of connections that are so important to get conservation delivery.
That's awesome. I think it's such a good thing to do to hear everybody's, you know, point of view and suggestions. And I'm sure this year there's the couple topics that are going to be brought up, obviously, are a wolf season.
Right. We got a lot of stuff that we'll be talking about. And one of our sessions will be about there are a couple of sessions where wolves might come up. We have, for fisheries section managers and wildlife section managers, kind of an update, hot topics kind of thing. And I'm sure wolves will come up there. But we also have a session that will dive a little bit deeper into the wolf management plan that we're working on right now.
Along with the wolves, what would you say are the top few topics that are going to be talked about? I mean, I can think of, you know, for hunting, probably crossbows, and then obviously we've heard, you know, rumblings about the shotgun zones maybe going away. What are your thoughts on those? Are those even in the top topics?
Well, we have a planned out agenda, and as I said, there's plenty of time built in for questions as well. The overall theme of the roundtable is kind of, you know, taken out of this year's history. It's kind of a mouthful, but I'll read it and then we can talk a little bit. It's called Public Health, Social Equity, and Natural Resource Management. You know, this has been a year of COVID that has kind of turned our recreation on its head. Lots and lots of people outside recreating. I was talking to some people on Leech and Winnie today, and things are kind of going crazy. Lots of people visiting parks. And 100,000 more people bought angling licenses this year. So changes because of COVID, right?
Yeah.
And then just the whole social equity thing has been of high interest since the killing of George Floyd this spring, and understanding how people in Minnesota think about engaging in natural resources, how they get outside and enjoy the outdoors. So those things are coming together, and we got some pretty cool speakers coming in from some national voices, some local voices to kind of wrestle with that. So there's always, in all these roundtables, there's sort of a big meeting in the morning where we're all the attendees get together and talk about kind of big ideas. And then in the afternoon, we break out into tracks. So there'll be a fisheries management track, and there'll be a wildlife management track, and there'll be ecological and waters management track, and then sort of a follow-up track from the morning. And then, so just to give you a flavor here, so some of the fisheries things that we'll be talking about. There'll be section manager Brad Parsons will be giving kind of a highlights of the year, talking about some upcoming things that include, you know, how did we work in light of COVID, talking about some ideas about changing walleye bag limits, talking about some of the angling pressures that we've seen on various lakes, especially in the wintertime. We've got some fish researchers that will be talking about their work, including looking at juvenile walleyes in Mille Lacs. You probably know we've been doing a lot of work on panfish, and so there's talk on panfish, and then there's kind of
I think there's more than talk on panfish. There's kind of some controversy on panfish right about now.
But the Quality Bluegill Initiative.
And the limits and whatnot. Yeah.
So that'll be a focus of some of that. Yep.
Yeah, I'll tell you what we're talking again with Dave Ofeld. Dave, this is going to be a virtual roundtable for the first time, and it's got to be such a hassle, a complicated process when you do it the first time. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm always wrong, this is an invite only to the roundtable. And you got people, some of your panelists are like Kathy Chavers, I think her name is, out of northern Minnesota. Drew Lanham is a Clemson University guy, and Preston Cole is a Wisconsin DNR. I always thought this roundtable was only Minnesota. Obviously, I'm wrong.
Well, the people we invite to participate to listen and be part of the conversations are Minnesotans from hunting organizations like the Deer Hunters and local clubs, but we sometimes try to draw in speakers that have a national voice, and so Preston Cole from Wisconsin is one of those, and Drew Lanham from Clemson is another of those.
You are, I know your first love in the outdoors, I believe, is pheasant hunting. So my guess is land conservation is a big part of your life, and I think we have to. One of the things I think you said or someone said in the article in the Outdoor News, we have to have a strong private landowner relationship with the DNR. Let's talk a little bit about land management.
Sure. I mean, land management is a key responsibility of the Department of Natural Resources and the Division of Fish and Wildlife. We've got about 1,500 wildlife management areas in the state, totaling more than 1 million acres, pushing 1.5 million acres of land. And so taking care of those lands is a big part of what we do. We also have aquatic management areas in strategic places to help protect spawning habitat. And increasingly, like in the northern part of the state, we have an initiative to try to maintain Cisco for walleye, with walleye prey.
Yep.
Maintaining healthy watersheds, because we know that's critical to maintaining cold water where Cisco can survive. Yep. So, land management is a really, really big part of what we do.
I know this is virtual and it's an invite only roundtable, but is there an opportunity for the public to find out what you guys were talking about, and are any decisions being made at the round table, or is this merely discussion and getting ideas?
Yeah, this is not a decision-making kind of a get-together. This is an information-sharing get-together. When we get together in person, there may be about 300 or 400 people who come this year. Because we're doing it virtually, we extended the invite list further, so it'll be about 600 people invited. And then this year, I think it's the first time, the event is being recorded, and we'll be posting segments of it on our DNR website. We're not sure of what segments yet and exactly how that's going to unfold, but that's certainly our intention, is to share this information a little more broadly than we've been able to in the past.
I think that's pretty important. That's pretty important, in my opinion, to share at least parts of it that you feel will be important in the eyes of the public. But I can tell you something that bothers me. Last year, you mentioned that there were 400 people invited to the round table, and it was in the Twin Cities. I think, who knows, but it was live. You had to be there. And I was a little disappointed last year when the four outdoorsmen weren't invited. Now there's 600, and I still didn't get invited.
What the heck, Dave?
Well, yeah. We'll have to fix that for next year, Stroh.
Oh.
You don't want him there.
Yeah, you do. Give me some duct tape, and I'll be fine. That'll be fine. Yeah. Go ahead, Mark.
It's all about the conversations, and so we love hearing from all kinds of people at these events.
Hey, Dave, Mark here. While we have you for a couple minutes, maybe some
questions, thoughts that we had regarding fishing, since you're the man. I know that walleye stocking and things like that were suspended this year because of COVID. Is that going to continue, do you think, in this year, or are they going to resume regular stocking now that they've had a little more time to plan on how to accompany that?
So let me – we didn't do our usual walleye intake. You're absolutely right. We were able to do some fingerling stocking that had been planned. We bought some fingerlings on the market, and we kind of trawled all the walleye rearing ponds that that might have had carryover. We actually had quite a few carryover fingerlings that we were able to stock around. So it wasn't a complete bust.
Right.
But in terms of this upcoming year, we are getting things in place. We're developing plans for how we can do the work in a safe manner. Kind of re-engineering some of the things that we do as natural resource professionals. You're right next to each other, and they're sloppy and messy, and so we've had to re-engineer it. So we're working on that part of it. We're working on getting the staff back that we would need to pull it off. But that said, there's this virus and how it's behaving is just really a wild card, and so I can't make predictions right now what things are going to be like at the end of March or April. But boy, I sure hope we are going to be doing that.
Hey, Dave, you became the director of the Fish and Wildlife Division of the Minnesota DNR in 2019. You came in at the wrong time, man. The COVID thing. I imagine you're getting ready to retire now that you couldn't accomplish probably some of the things you'd like to. You're going to extend that, but how has COVID really affected everything as far as your position?
Well, I'll just say one thing. I think it's our staff and in the division and the Department of Natural Resources have really done remarkable things. We've re-engineered work. We haven't done everything that we usually do. We've done a lot of the work that we typically do in a year. And so that's a credit to the staff and the department and the division.
Well,
the things that we are noticing, it's the relationships, right? We're talking on the phone here, and I spend my days in front of the computer talking on Zoom calls, and that's not the way to help foster relationships. We're maintaining them, but creating new relationships and really getting it. We have a lot of really tough issues that we're wrestling with, and to do that over the computer, even if there's video, is not the best way to do so. So it's those relationship things, both inside and outside the agency, that are, I think are.
It's going to get better.
They're suffering, but it's not nearly as good as doing it.
No, it's not going to last forever. So everything's going to turn around eventually. But Dave, we're going to have to let you go. But I tell you what, I could not sit at a computer the entire day to do my job. I don't care if I'm doing Zoom or not. I'd have to. My buddy Mark here to my left has a saying that he uses at the end of the show, and it's get outside and make some memories. I'd say you got to go out and walk the woods once in a while to clear your head. That's what I would do if I were you.
That's absolutely true, and I would encourage all of us to do that.
All right, David. Dave Oldfeld, director of the Fish and Wildlife Division of the Minnesota DNR. Good luck with the roundtable, and I'll tell you what, maybe we'll get you back in a few weeks to tell us how it went. But the public wants to see some of that stuff as well if we possibly can, so I'm sure that word will come out somewhere along the line as well. All right.
Thank you.
David, take care of yourself and be safe up there. And again, thanks for what you do. I know it's a difficult job.
Okay, thank you very much.
But take care, Dave. Bye-bye. Hey, we're going to be right back with, go ahead, Mark, your buddy.
Nick Hoffman of Nick's Wild Ride.
Well, it has been a wild ride. True Man here for one of our favorite fishing destinations, Devil's Lake, North Dakota. With plenty of guiding services, you'll have every opportunity to catch your limit of walleyes or jumbo perch, or both. Find out why Devil's Lake has earned the reputation of being the perch capital of the world and also being ranked one of the top 5 fishing destinations in the United States. It's great fishing, hotels, restaurants, and great people. Hey, go have some fun. Book your trip by visiting devilslakend.com. Thanks.
40 years ago, Dave Gens had an idea that would change the sport of ice fishing. The Fish Trap Flip-Over Portable Ice Shelter, providing protection as well as mobility to anglers.
Today, the concept remains, but the original clamfish trap has evolved, made with premium thermal fabrics, heavy-duty tubs, and easy-to-use pole systems. After 40 years, there's still only one original fish trap. Watch the full story at clamoutdoors.com.
Tired of losing your valuables down the ice fishing hole? Our friend Bill Katz with BK Outdoors LLC has the most simple, affordable solution on the market. Katz covers are a strong polycarbonate hole cover you can stand on and fish through. Your phone, electronics, keys, kids, and pets can now be safe with this simple solution. Go to katzcovers.com. That's KATZKOVERZ.com. Made in Minnesota, a veteran-owned company, you can order yours directly or visit one of Bill's great retail partners to get yours now.
If your furnace or AC rolls over, it's time to call the top dog, Dazeal Heating and Air Conditioning. With fast emergency service, when you call, we come running. Our experts are well-trained and lead the pack in residential furnace and AC repair and replacement. We always listen and work to assure your family's safety. Plus, easy available financing means there's no runaround. Dazeal Heating and Air, the homeowner's best friend. Serving Wright County and the West Metro. Online at DazeelHVAC.com.
No boat show in 2021? No worries. Open Water will be here before you know it, and you can still claim your 2021 build slot. Trade in now and reserve your custom 2021 model for a spring delivery. Alumacraft, Ranger, and Lund fishing boats. Godfrey, Lowe, and Ranger pontoons. Don't miss the mark. Get your build reserved today now while you still can. Call 763-576-1706 to order yours today. Visit PowerLodge.com and check out the huge selection, or visit Power Lodge in Ramsey, Brainerd, or Mille Lacs.
Total Country Bob FM.
Yeehaw! Come on, Nicky boy.
My world's a roller coaster.
Oh, yeah.
And my life's a traffic jam.
Got some fiddle in there, pal. This is good.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what, that's Nick Hoffman when he was singing with Farm, I think. I don't think it was The Farm, but it was Farm. And that song was nominated for the best song of the New Country Artist or something, CMA, AMA or something like that. I don't know. I always get them wrong. And I think it was actually got to number 9 on the charts, something like that. So, Nick Hoffman, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
When's the last time you heard that song?
You know what? I play it every morning when I wake up, and I do 100 push-ups.
It's got to be a long song. It has to be about a two-hour song for me if I was going to do 100 push-ups.
Can you picture me? It's like you know, it's like the Rocky thing. I get up every morning and I run.
And you have
that doesn't happen.
You have a glass of raw egg.
A nice
that?
Training montage.
Yeah, yeah, that whole thing. You can go ahead and picture me like that if you want, but that isn't how it goes down.
Well, I'm sure Natalie would be really excited about you listening to these tunes, rocking really hard, doing push-ups, and she's still in bed. Hey, Nick Hoffman, he's got a television show called Nick's Wild Ride on the Outdoor Channel. We've had you on before. But what's cool about you is you're a local boy who's made a name for himself. What's new with you? What's new with Nick's Wild Ride?
Man, I appreciate you guys having me on. I am a local boy, loud and proud. I've been in Nashville for quite a while, but you can take the boy out of Minnesota, but you can't take the Minnesota out of the boy. I refused to watch the football game yesterday because
atta
of the
boy.
Packers.
Atta boy.
Not because I wasn't interested, but because I can't watch that godforsaken team play ever.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love you guys, and I love Minnesota, and it's slightly cold down here. I'm starting to feel I'm in Nashville right now, and it's like 25 degrees here, so it kind of feels like home.
No, listen. I think
very brown.
Sam is
very
next
brown.
To me. Sam is next to me. Mark is next to him, and of course, I like music and all the stuff you do more than hunting myself, to be honest with you. But and I love the outdoors, hunting fish. But what you've done, what you've gone through and accomplished, just blows me away. But now you're in Nashville. I think the last time you were on, I told you 3 years ago, maybe even 2 years ago. My wife and I went down to Nashville for the first time, and it was a wonderful experience. Went to the not the Grand Ole Opry. What's the one called right next to downtown? Whatever it is, it's the. What's
the
that?
The Ryman Auditorium.
Yeah, the Ryman. And that was fun. Ricky Skaggs and the gang was there, but that was a lot of fun. But my highlight, not only all the music and going up and down and listening to all the entertainment, was they had a big building. They imploded a big building about two blocks away from our hotel. And I got up at 7:30 in the morning, just stood in the corner to watch this thing come down. I felt it was just so cool. And I don't even know if you know about it, but watch this thing. The dynamite goes off, and about 10 seconds later, it just collapsed. It was the neatest thing in the world, boy.
Well, that proves that, you know, boys will always be boys. Big boom make boy happy, right? Yeah. I mean, yeah. In this town is so cool, and it's Nashville's really interesting. It's grown so fast over the last, you know, 5-6 years, and actually this town has had a rough go of it this year. You know, you guys all heard about the Christmas bombing, and then of course we had a big tornado that came through here and did a bunch of damage. But with all that said, I have loved this town for 20 years now. I've been down here quite a while. I've had a really cool career. But I got to be honest with you. I miss home. And the older I get, I just talked to my dad about this the other day. He lives in Nowthen, which is just north of Ramsey for anyone who doesn't know where Nowthen is. It's an intersection of a town. I miss home. I miss Minnesota. And I'm not too darn far from moving home.
You know, I'll tell you what, I saw the video. Go ahead, Sam.
I was just shocked.
I saw the video. I was watching the video of the Home Sweet Home, and I could tell that a lot of that was shot on your property where you were born and raised. And that, I don't know if your parents still live there, but that was a beautiful setting right there.
And you know, I'm proud of that. I was listening to an ad that you guys had on right before I came on here, and so I grew up in Nowthen, in Anoka area, right? But my grandparents on my mom's side are from New York Mills, where Lund boats are made. Mm-hmm. And this was back in the day. I was able, when I would go up there, we could just walk into the factory and, like, walk around. I had a buddy who lived next door to my grandparents, and his parents worked there. And we would just go visit his parents. And they were welding and all doing all this crazy stuff, and we could just go walk into the factory and watch these boats being made. And now I'm down here on Old Hickory Lake in Nashville, and I see Lund boats going around, and I'm like, hey, Minnesota proud, baby. Yeah. Minnesota proud. I love that.
Hey, Nick, it's Mark here. Speaking of that, I saw it in your Facebook page, and I recommend all our listeners to follow Nick on Nick's Wild Ride. You have a picture of your grandfather, and that is a cool picture, man. Why don't you explain that a little bit, and I encourage people to go check it out.
Yeah, if you go to my Instagram or my Facebook, which is Nick's Wild Ride, all one word, I posted a picture yesterday of my grandfather who grew up, born and raised in Anoka, Minnesota. And I found this picture last time I was home in my grandmother's stack of pictures. He's probably about 20. He's 1911 when he was born, so he's probably about 20 years old. He looks so maybe in the early 30s. He's got what looks to be an 8 or a 10 gauge side by side shotgun with a black lab.
Punt gun, probably.
Nobody in my family knows, you know, anything about it. You know, I didn't grow up in a hunting family. I have no recollection of my grandpa hunting, but apparently he did when he was younger, and he told me a little bit about it. But you know, I don't know anything about that story, and it's interesting how, you know, that Minnesota heritage of hunting, it goes so deep, you know, way back to the 30s. You know, you think about when we introduced pheasants into that area. I mean, he was, you know, predating that stuff. You know, he probably remembers going and hunting those first pheasants back in South Dakota and Minnesota back in the day. It makes me proud.
Well, I'm
a proud Anokan, and I'm a proud Minnesotan.
Well, we have to. Next time you come home, you got to come in studio with us and have some fun with us. But then we'll sneak out and have some chicken wings and a beer and lie about our sex lives. How does that sound?
Don't threaten me with a good time, because I do that every I lie about my sex life every day of the week.
You're a smart man. Wait to get to be 69, pal, and it's an everyday experience. Hey, we'll talk more about Nick's Wild Ride, which is a wonderful show. It's literally one of my favorites, because it's not just hunting. It's all about the adventure and tasting different wines and foods and tradition and customs of different cities and towns and countries you're in, and that's what's fun about it. But I got to brag about your background, because I tell everybody you're my best friend already. You know, he started playing fiddle when they jammed when they were kids at home. Grandma played, and she still is Grandma still around?
Oh, yeah.
And she's still playing piano.
She's 97. She plays the piano. She's at a beautiful assisted living place in Ramsey, and God bless her heart, she hasn't gotten to leave her room for over almost a year now because of COVID, right? So, and she still, though, gets out and plays the piano, so they'll let her come out and play the piano while everyone can listen from their rooms, you know, once a week. So she still gets out and performs for everybody and plays music, and it's, you know, if it weren't for my grandma and my grandpa, who are both musicians, I don't think I would have gotten to live the charmed life I do.
Pretty
so,
cool.
I think she's going to make it to 100. I think she's one of them strong Norwegian women that are going to go all the way to 100. She still makes Lefse, and she's a badass. I love her.
Good for her.
Hey, boys, the bat phone is lighting up. We got a special caller on the line.
Put him on. Who is it?
Caller, you're on.
Yeah. Hey, I got a question for Nick.
Go ahead.
Have you ever been to Wisconsin?
Oh, I don't. I'm not a big Wisconsin fan. I tend to be more of a Minnesota kind of guy.
Because the Packers sure are doing good this year.
I recognize this voice. This is Chris Cruzy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Oh, that's
you
funny.
You rotten bastard.
Chris, no, how are you? That's funny.
Why does a guy that's been on The Voice and has a hit single that's in the top 40, why you got to come and rain on my parade? This is my interview, not yours.
Well, I just figured I'd come in and help you out. I was listening a little bit, and I just wanted to make sure that you had stuff to talk about.
I love this.
Hey, somehow, Chris Cruzy, of course,
hey,
was on The Voice.
Let's everybody take a second and give Chris a big hand for it.
Yay, Chris.
Released song that's in the top 40 in the country right now.
Yeah, it's a good song. As a matter of fact, I saw the video as well. My wife's a big fan, and Chris does a great job, and of course you do as well. The first time I met you was when Chris was performing at Red's in Chautauqua 3 years ago, give or take, and you were there with your fiancée at that time, so it might have been more than 3 years, which is Natalie, I think, Natalie Murphy. And and so you and somehow I found out that you and Chris were great friends, and I called Chris, and I said, hey, Chris, your buddy Nick's going to be on. Come on and give him some sass.
I love it. Well, and I'm proud of this song that is on the radio, too, because, you know, Chris and I got to work together on this song here in Nashville, and, you know, we Midwestern people have to stick together. I know we have a really dirty border that separates us, but, you know, we have to stick together. You know what I mean?
It's that dirty Mississippi.
Yeah.
It's the St. Croix.
Yeah.
but who's you know, who's counting? It's all good.
I did real good in geography.
Chris, when's the last time you met you saw your buddy Nick?
What's that?
When's the last time you saw Nick face to face?
It's probably been, 6 months.
Was that your concert? Was that your concert at the barn in Barron there?
Oh yeah, so probably 4 months ago.
Yeah.
Hey Nick, I gotta hang on a second, Chris. I gotta give Chris some sass. My wife and I have made a decision not to go to any more concerts for Chris. For a while anyway, because the last time we went to a concert, it was the rodeo in Rice Lake, the Barron County Rice Fairgrounds area. And both Diane and I got COVID. There's 2,000 people there. No one's wearing masks. They're all drinking beer. They ran out of beer before the concert started, before the rodeo started. That's a true story. That's Wisconsin.
Well, what happened, though, is they sold it to us. Like, we're going to be super careful. The stand sold about 1,800 people. We'll sell, you know, a little under half capacity so people can spread out. And then, like, the week before it, they were like, screw it. We're going to sell 2,000 tickets and squeeze these people in here.
Yeah, that's what happened, too. But anyway. Hey, Chris.
Hey, y'all. Chris shot a huge buck this year. Have you guys heard about that?
No.
I saw a picture of it.
Really?
But Chris, yeah. Tell him a little bit about that, man. Because, you know, I get to go all over the world and hunt and do all sorts of cool stuff. And I get to go with these great outfitters. And I, you know, but Chris went into public land on his own, got all the way back in there and shot a giant buck this year with his bow.
Right in Barron County, I bet, right?
Yep. Yes, sir. Yeah, it was super fun. I've got some permission land, like what you would call, I guess, coffee cake permission by my house, and I hunted that some, and I put cameras out there and stuff, and there were some nice bucks around, but I just wasn't seeing anything, you know, during shooting hours. Everything was, you know, 10, 11 o'clock, midnight sometimes, so I'm like, these deer are bedded probably quite a ways away from where I'm hunting, and so I kind of got disheartened there, but then just looked on X and found some public land and walked through this nasty box elder swamp, like 800 yards. But it was just miserable getting back there. And then I had a buddy with me, and he's a experienced hunter, and he knows about like how to call and stuff. I don't at all.
Yeah.
But he grunted a couple times and then rattled, and this thing came in raking through the woods and stopped at 25 yards broadside, just perfect.
I'll tell you what, that's interesting. Now, if you went back so many yards, or I don't care if it's 500 yards, did you guys have to drag it out, or could you get a four-wheeler back there?
I think we probably had to drag it a couple hundred yards, and then we could get the four-wheeler to
I would die. Hey, Chris, we gotta let you go. We got to finish up with Nick here, but you can give him some sass some other time. But
absolutely.
Thanks for surprising him, kid.
Yep, we'll see you guys.
All right, take care. Sorry about that, Nick.
Yeah.
I was going to talk all about, we got about 3 minutes left. We're having too much fun. We got to have you on again next week. Who knows? But tell us what's new with the next, what's going on, coming up with Nick's Wild Ride the next couple of episodes.
Well, I've got, a brand new season that we're working on now. Season 5 is airing right now, not only on Outdoor Channel, but also on Fox Sports nationally. But of course, for you guys, that means Fox Sports North and Fox Sports Wisconsin.
Right.
I've got a lot of really cool episodes on there this year that I'm really proud of. And then I also have a brand new solo record that it'll be my first solo album since my work with the farm, and that'll be coming out this spring. So,
well, hey, I got to jump in on that real quick. We should get you on the Homegrown show then. Strew, you make the
I'll set it up
contacts
for you guys,
happen. Yeah, that'd be great.
We'll get you on the Homegrown show from 5 to 6. Brandon does, and it's all local people who are just singing their butts off and playing tunes. And we'll get that.
Yeah, had Chris on a couple months ago, and that's where Sam saw the picture.
You guys, bring it on.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Congratulations. So people can find Nick's Wild Ride and all those channels you were talking about, Outdoor Channel and the Fox Sports North. Yep. What is the day? Is it Fridays?
So we're on Monday evenings, and then this time of year we're on Saturday at noon, and then a couple of overnights as well. But our main thing is Saturday at noon.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, you've got a lot of accomplishments. You've earned a lot of awards, but you've done wonderful. We're proud of you. But the best thing you ever earned was that wife of yours, because she's hot. Boy, I tell you, she is hot.
Dirty bastard.
She's hot. Have a good day, Nick Hoffman. Thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman. We'll keep pushing you, pal, and we'll get you on again. We got to talk more about you instead of Chris Cruzy.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, when it comes to my wife, you guys, all you guys out there, go check her out. It's Natalie Murphy Music. Natalie Murphy is her name. Go check her out because she's an amazing fiddle player that's from Minnesota as well. So. We all us Minnesotans got to stick together.
I've listened to some of her music, and I saw you guys when you did Whenever You Come Around by Vince Gill, and the harmony was absolutely beautiful. So she sings every bit as good as you do, buddy. And check her out, and check out Nick as well. And hang on a second. Mark's got something.
Sam.
Hey, Nick, real quick. When is that your album releasing?
There's not an official release date yet. There's a couple of things coming up the pipe that are really big that I can't tell you about yet, but it'll all happen at the same time, probably, I would say late spring. It would be when it's all going to be coming down. And like I said, I got a couple of big announcements coming up. So stay tuned. Nick's Wild Ride, all one word, on Facebook and Instagram is the best way to stay in touch.
Nick Hoffman, Nick's Wild Ride. I'll tell you what, Nick, stay by your phone because we're going to be heading to the pub here in a couple of minutes. I got to talk to you about something else. I'll give you a call. Thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman. Congratulations on your career, and keep on going.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you all, and I love what you do, and I look forward to doing it next time.
Come on. You bet. Take care. That's See fun. You. That's fun. You know, it's
good.
I know it wasn't as much outdoor news and stuff and hunting and stuff that we should be talking. But
that's fun.
That's fun.
That's his show. His show is like all about adventure and the journey, and it's a great show.
If
really
you guys
is.
Haven't seen Nick's Wild Ride, it is more than hunting. You would absolutely love it, whether you hunt or fish or not. Hey, join us next week if you would, and get ready for the Real Talk Outdoors from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Stu Man checking out. Sam's here. Mark is next to him, and Mark's got something to say.
Get outside and make some memories.